The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches from palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, raised him from the dead, continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." I wonder if you can picture this scene. Can you feel the excitement of the crowd in this scene? Jesus is coming. Jesus, the prophet, the miracle worker, the great teacher. Did you hear about the blind man that he cured? What about the lepers? Did you hear about that? There was a whole group of them, and he cured them all, every single one of them. Remember that time that thousands went out to the Sea of Galilee to hear him teach? Maybe you were one of them. Maybe you were there. He fed all of them with nothing more than a few loaves of bread and some fish. Maybe you were there. Oh, what must it have been like? I wish I'd been there. What about the widow's son? Did you hear about that? That happened way up north. Maybe you didn't hear about that one. It's far away. It was amazing, though. Just like the great prophet Elijah 1,000 years ago, they were in the middle of a funeral procession when Jesus raised this widow's son back to life. It was incredible. He's healed so many people. You know, he's not like us. He's special. He's touched by God somehow. He has to be. Whenever he teaches, you know there's something important in his words. And the people he travels with, I don't know if you've seen them, but they're just like you and me. They're regular folk. He's not all religious and hoity-toity. He's one of us. You know, his cousin was that guy from a few years ago. Maybe you heard about him. He was baptizing people in the Jordan. Oh, he was great. I remember I was there. I remember hearing him yell at the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That was so great. He had nerve, that one. I wonder what ever happened to him. I heard Herod got his hands on him. It was bound to happen, I guess. You can't be all popular and yelly in the desert without getting flack for it. He was probably too honest for his own good. Did you know he was Jesus' cousin? Maybe something in their DNA. Actually, maybe now that I think of it, maybe that's not that far off. They say that Jesus is of David's line. John must have been as well. They're cousins after all. Maybe deep inside, Jesus and John still carry some kind of genetic memory of kingship that makes him do and say the things he does and says without any real fear for the consequences. You know, the Messiah, he's supposed to be from David's line. My neighbor told me that his cousin's best friend's mother's neighbor heard Jesus speak at a synagogue a few years ago. He read that great passage from Isaiah. You remember it from synagogue, from when you were a kid, learning the scriptures. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," it reads, "because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." You know that one? Well, apparently, according to my neighbor's cousin's best friend's mother's neighbor, after Jesus read those words, he told everyone that those words were about him. He told them that the prophet's words were fulfilled that very day in him. Oh, wouldn't it be nice? I mean, to finally be free of Rome, to be Israel again, to have a king maybe like David or Solomon from of old. Oh, to bid goodbye to the soldiers and their swords, to bid goodbye to puppets like Herod and Pilate. Can you imagine what it would be like if your kid could grow up free? Did you hear about Lazarus? That guy from Bethany? Apparently he's a really good friend of Jesus. The way I heard it, he died. He was buried for like 3 or 4 days by the time Jesus got there. So Jesus, this is the way I heard it, Jesus went to the tomb and apparently he told people to roll the stone away from the tomb. And when he did, oh, there must have been something in his voice, because after that long, there would have been quite a smell from that tomb. Anyway, as I heard it, they rolled away the stone and Jesus said something or other. And next thing everyone knew, Lazarus was walking right out of his own tomb. The dead guy was walking out of his own tomb. He was alive. He was still wrapped in his burial cloths and everything. That's the way I heard it. It's almost too impossible to believe, isn't it? Except, oh, this Jesus, he's done so many impossible things. And the way he teaches, it's not like the way the priests teach. When Jesus teaches, he's like a regular guy. Like he knows about things like sheep and farming and working the fields and being ripped off by tax collectors. That reminds me, did you know that one of the men who goes everywhere with him, one of his disciples, used to be a tax collector? Did you hear the story about Zacchaeus? As I heard it, Zacchaeus was a tax collector who met Jesus and immediately started paying back everything he'd stolen from people and gave away like half of everything he owned to help the poor just because he'd met Jesus. Can you imagine the kind of presence Jesus must have for a tax collector of all people to change like that? Oh, I can't wait to meet him, or at least to see him even. He's coming, you know. I think he's going to change things in this city. I hope those priests who conspire with the Romans are finally going to get what's coming to them. You know, if he raises an army to kick out Rome, I'll probably fight. Will you fight? What do you think? It's possible he might be the Messiah. If he is, you know, we can't lose in a fight, even against Rome. You know that we'll win with God on our side. Oh, I can almost taste it. Listen. I can hear them. Can you hear them? They're coming. Can you see him? Can you see him yet? There he is. He's riding a colt. It's like he fell right out of the scriptures, right out of Zechariah's scroll itself. You know the words, we learned them when we were kids. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. Ah, oh, his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Can you believe what we're seeing today? Surely he is the one we've been waiting for all those centuries. Hosanna! Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Glory in the highest heaven. Say it with me. Hosanna. Hosanna. Can you picture the scene this morning? Can you feel the excitement of that Palm Sunday crowd? The crowd knew what it was to long for a savior. They knew what it was to long for someone who would make things better. They lived in a really hard world, in a world plagued by darkness, in a world of little accountability for the powerful, of abuses and injustices and fear. They lived in a world that wouldn't grieve their loss if they disappeared tomorrow. They lived in a world over which they had very little control. You know, our world today in the 21st century in Toronto isn't that much different from theirs, is it? I mean, once you set aside, obviously, things like cars and computers and Zoom, our world is plagued by darkness like theirs was. While we do sometimes see those with power held to account for their abuses, all too often, the consequences are minor. They don't measure up to the consequences faced by those without power. We, just like them, may feel like we have very little control over our world. You know, I was on Bloor Street yesterday, at the same time as a parade of protesters walked by to the muffled sounds of a megaphone holding signs that read things like, "There is no pandemic," and other such nonsense. It made me so angry. I am, like so many of you, tired of COVID. I'm tired of masks and lockdowns and fear for the health of the people I love. And these people, people who disregard all the safety protocols, people who keep spreading this horrible virus, there's nothing I can do about them. I feel powerless, stuck here in my apartment. And I don't think that I am alone in those feelings. And it's not just the pandemic either, is it? It's Sarah Everard kidnapped and murdered while walking home from a friend's house. It's seven Asian women and a man shot to death inside an Atlanta spa. It's 10 people killed while grocery shopping in Boulder, Colorado. It's countless missing and murdered Indigenous Canadian women. It's no one held to account for the murder of Breonna Taylor by police officers. It's my own 14-year-old niece harassed by a man while walking down Bloor Street on a sunny afternoon. It's more than 300 protesters killed in Myanmar after a military coup 2 months ago. It's something like a million Uyghurs detained and abused in Chinese re-education camps. I don't know about you, but I am longing for a savior. I feel like I imagine those Israelites felt on that first Palm Sunday, longing for a savior to come and conquer what's wrong in the world. I long for the evils of the world to be destroyed. I long for the darkness to give way to the light. I long for God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. How about you? Do you also understand the longing of that Palm Sunday crowd, I wonder? Don't we share their longing? I want to pause here and take a moment to give voice to our longing. And if you're on a computer or another such device, I invite you to maybe use the chat function, if you know how, to write a word or a phrase, maybe naming specific places in the world where you just long for there to be a savior. Maybe places in our own city, in your own life, where you long to see a savior. Maybe if you can't use the chat, or you'd rather not use the chat, you're not sure how to use it, and you want to unmute yourself and speak your longing out loud, I just ask, keep it to a word or a phrase. Don't take too long. I'm going to invite you to do that, to unmute yourself at this time. Just mute yourself when you're done. What are the evils in the world that you long to see destroyed? What darkness you long to see give way to light? Again, share those over the chat or speak them out loud. I'll give a few moments for us to do that. God, we are longing for a savior. Oh, there's so much in this world that needs your presence. Issues around poverty and housing. Brazil needs your savior, your healing. Justice system, God needs your presence. The lack of clean, drinkable water in our Indigenous communities. God, the country of Indonesia needs you. Our polluted world. The families that have children, whether they're young or old, with various special needs, God. We long for a savior in there. Migrant workers, God. Migrant workers who are in all over the world just looking for work, and those who come here to Canada as well, God. God, the injustice, the crime of our own country, the need for affordable housing. Christians in Uganda. God, we pray that you would inspire them to lead in reform and development in their country. We know the longing for a Savior. We know the longing for light in a dark world. We know the longing for hope in so much despair and injustice and oppression and corruption. We know what it is so often to feel powerless in all of that. I want you to know that there is good news in all of this. It's the same good news that that Palm Sunday crowd cheered and sang and shouted for. When they were shouting, Hosanna, they were shouting, here he comes. He is God's presence as on earth as it is in heaven. There's a reason that when Jesus was born, he was named Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's good news in this. There's good news in Jesus' presence on Palm Sunday. Despite the darkness of the world around him, God was in that world. God is in this world. He's in it with us. He doesn't leave. He doesn't disappear. Jesus, God incarnate, God with us, is the one about whom the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians. God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Hear that again. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our God, the same God of the Jewish people who lined the streets to cheer for Jesus as he entered Jerusalem, that same God is in this with us. That is the good news in all of this. He is faithful. He keeps all of his promises. Over the last weeks, we've been talking about our God who makes promises right from Noah through Abraham and before that, or after that, through to Moses and to the people of Israel. And after that, the new covenant that Jeremiah promised that incorporates all of us, every single one of us. God is faithful to keep all of his promises. This is the good news in this. As dark as the world is, as oppressive as the world is, as overwhelmed as we might feel by the events of the world that we are aware of, to say nothing of all the ones that are just kind of mysteries out there, God is in it with us. As Jesus rode that colt into Jerusalem, he was in it with them as he is in it with us. Now we know that this isn't the end of the story. We know that Good Friday is coming. We know that then Easter is coming. And not only that, but after Easter, we get to something we call the Ascension, which is where Jesus rose up to sit at God's right hand. We're told in the Bible that he intercedes for us, that even now, all these prayers that we speak, all these needs in the world, as we give voice to the darkness and the evils in the world, the events that have happened, that make us feel powerless, that make us see just darkness, that make us maybe feel a little bit hopeless, that Jesus is praying on our behalf, that Jesus is speaking on our behalf. How could there be any more good news than that? You know, sometimes we forget. We think it's just, this is it, this world that we've got. But this world is changing. God is changing this world. He has promised his kingdom will come. He has promised that evil and sin and death itself have been defeated in Jesus. And while we live in this in-between time, that is the gospel. That is the good news. That is the truth. That whatever we experience with our ears and our eyes, however we interpret the events of the world, the truth that underlies all of it is that all of that has been defeated by Christ on the cross. People celebrated as Jesus walked into Jerusalem, as he rode that colt into Jerusalem. They celebrated because they saw not the total story. They didn't understand the total story. It was still a mystery. It is still in a lot of ways a mystery. But it foreshadowed this great and triumphant end that is the guaranteed end of history. that God's kingdom will come, that God's kingdom will be on earth as it is in heaven. And in fact, in Christ Church, God's kingdom is on earth as it is in heaven. As hard as that is to believe sometimes, it is truth. It is gospel. It is Jesus. And so now, just as you shared in the chat, the needs, the darkness, the evils, I'm going to invite you to share similarly in the chat or unmute yourself and speak the words out loud. Our thanks for the truth of the gospel. Just use a word or a few words. Maybe your word is Hosanna. Maybe your word is praise God. Maybe your word is thank you, God. Maybe you have something specific that you are thankful for, a sign of light or of hope that you have seen in the world around you. Keep it short. Keep it a word or a phrase. Enter it into the chat now, or like before, feel free to unmute yourself and speak that out loud to the group right now. Let's do that, Lord Jesus. Hear our words of praise. You who are exalted, who have been given the name that is above every name, we offer you our thanks and our praise right now.
Thank you, God, for walking with us.
For your resurrection power, God, for your faithfulness and your healing, for new life.
Father God, we exalt you, we bless you, and we worship your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for who you are.
For your unfailing life, God, though we are unworthy, for the many blessings, for your love and redemption in Christ Jesus, for hope no matter the situation, for your power, for the sword of the Spirit, for eternal life, for your gentleness and love. God, sometimes we forget the gospel. Because the hard things in the world around us, the dark things, the evil things in the world around us are so big, we forget. But God, we offer you our praise. We offer you our thanks. We offer you our worship this morning.